Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I'm delighted to welcome a friend for too many decades now to go back. But Niall Gibbons is the CEO worldwide of Tourism Ireland. And you're very welcome, Niall.
Good morning, Adrian. Great to be back on the show again. Thanks for having me. Look forward to seeing you all again in real life very soon. But in the meantime, great to be on the show again.
You know, yes, we have our own news before you get started, you know, and that is our masks are gone. And we dumped them right away as of 2 days ago, Thursday. And so we have to get a reminder once in a while when we're walking in someplace, say, you don't need that anymore. It's great news for us here. We have to. It's the first sign of freedom after 2 solid years. But actually, I'd like to go back to 2 years ago. Just you know, when you were in New York already for St. Patrick's Day, and we had or you had announced the great plans for Ireland, and then, of course, in what was another. You know, a banner year for tourism, and then the world collapsed. You know, just recalling that as we link up today.
Yeah, it's amazing to think, Adrian. I mean, I did an interview with you in New York in March. We were over with our Northern Ireland minister at the time, was Diane Dodds, and we had a really good program. We traveled then to Washington, D.C., and at that point then, it was very clear that things were starting to unravel. We were due to come back down for the parade in New York, but obviously everything got postponed, and we thought it might be going on for a couple of months, but it dragged on an awful lot longer than we thought. But I think it's fair to say now, with the news that you've had over there and with the news that we've had over here, the prospects for travel look the brightest that they've been for at least 2 years. And we have been looking forward to a record year back there in 2019, but it's amazing. No one could have foretold how quickly things turned, and it's great to see now that there's hope on the horizon and a lot of optimism with regard to getting back to travel.
And of course, we know from Alison Metcalf, head of tourism for North America, Tourism Ireland for North America, that actually the numbers are picking up. They will not be what they were pre-pandemic, but I think everybody's had it with 2 years of being isolated, and plans that were being made for last year are spilling into this year. It's great news, and but you might tell us, though, about, again, for clarification, the restrictions in Ireland have to a great degree been lifted, and Ireland still has the best track record for the most vaccinations, the most vaccinated country in all of Europe. You know,
indeed, Adrian. I mean, the vaccination program has been an outstanding success here, with approximately 95% of all adults fully vaccinated now, and many, many indeed taking up booster jabs. And you're right, at the end of January, the government here in Ireland announced the lifting of almost all restrictions. So from a hospitality perspective now, the restrictions that would have been placed in relation to social distancing, in relation to table booking, in relation to closure times are now all gone. And the hospitality industry is now returning to normal. Staff do have to wear masks, and masks are required in public settings like public transport and that type of thing, and hospital settings. But other than that, I'd have to say that over the last 2 years, this is the biggest sense of normality that any of us have seen. It's such a dramatic transformation, really. And I had a presentation from the team at Dublin Airport yesterday on prospects for the summer season. They're seeing what looks like a very strong rebound for the summer season. We know a lot of people are keen to get back home. And what's the really positive news is that we reckon that about 90% of the air capacity that was there in 2019 will come back for the summer of 2022. So that's really good.
Which brings me to, of course, the great news that, you know, Shannon Airport opened for U.S. flights again in March. And that has been, you know, a huge loss to so many people, particularly in the west of Ireland and the northwest, that Shannon is back is still another incentive to get on with it, you know, and to make the bookings too. So, but in the meantime, the tremendous, again, the gates are open from so many areas of the United States that that's has to be music to the ears of travelers, and with many direct flights, you know.
You're right, yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned Shannon because it's a really important gateway for the west of Ireland, and we're really pleased that Aer Lingus have made the announcement that they'll be flying up to Shannon, as will United and American, which is terrific news. And the range of gateways on offer from the USA this summer is very, very strong. I mean, obviously, traditional gateways like Boston, New York, Chicago, but we'll also see the return of Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Dallas, Charlotte, Philadelphia, Boston, Washington, D.C., and Orlando. So really, really good, really good spread, and I think a lot of optimism as we head towards the summer. We are hopeful. We haven't seen it yet, but you know, people coming from the United States to Ireland do have to do a minimum antigen test within 24 hours of their departure. But I'm really hopeful that that will be gone by the summer. Ireland lifted its testing requirements in early January, so we don't have any testing requirements other than, you know, you need to be fully vaccinated. And so that's really positive. And you still have to fill out a passenger locator form, but that's actually quite easy to do online. It can be done very, very quickly. So, yeah, things heading in the right direction. And certainly with the air capacity there now, it means that pent-up demand can be fulfilled.
Want to ask you, Niall Gibbons, about Fáilte, Ireland. And Fáilte, Ireland, you know, again, pushing for, you know, pushing to support tourism and business through financial and practical support, you know, developing destination experiences across the island of Ireland. That's also has to be great news. When, of course, when we heard of the government of Ireland's big push in terms of taking the rebound very seriously. That wasn't a Grand McCree slap on the back. The money's coming through to make sure that this happens and happens quickly was, again, very promising. And you know, to the fore for other countries in Europe, that's a big push.
Yeah, indeed. The Fáilte Ireland are our sister agency, and they have responsibility for developing and promoting the industry in Ireland itself. And the government put a huge amount of promotion and an effort into maintaining industry supports in place while COVID was there. So there were temporary wage supports. There was a reduction in VAT or sales tax, as you'd call it there. There were also grants in order to help industry survive through the crisis. And it really has meant that a lot of the industry have come through relatively intact, which is very good as we start to reopen on the international side. And what Fáilte have been doing as well is investing in new products and new experiences. You've heard of the Wild Atlantic Way. We've talked about that an awful lot. That's what our colleagues in Fáilte Ireland have worked on. But also Ireland's Ancient East, Ireland's Hidden Heartways, invested in activities outdoors, blue ways, green ways. Some new interesting projects coming down the track in the longer term in places like Cavan and places like Mayo. So a lot of good investment in tourism product that will keep the product fresh for people who are looking at coming in the next number of years. So that's all good. And we've done a lot of work with them as well on the whole diaspora space. And I think it's an area that's very important to us. We all saw that experience from the gathering many, many years ago. And I think what our research tells us is that the first cohort of people that will be traveling home will be those who have family connections in Ireland.
Tourism Ireland, indeed. It's Tourism Ireland promoting the island of Ireland, and you know, many would know that there is so much information available on Tourism Ireland's website, ireland.com. But you know, the fact that it is, you know, the entire island of Ireland, you know, including obviously, you know, a great promotion for Northern Ireland, you know, the Causeway Coast, all of Northern Ireland, which many people perhaps haven't visited on previous trips, that's wide open as well, you know, which again is an important aspect.
Yeah, it's a very important aspect. I'm glad you mentioned that. And for people who may not be aware, Tourism Ireland was a product of the Good Friday Agreement, and the work that was previously carried on separately by the Northern Ireland Tourist Board and the Irish Tourist Board is now done by Tourism Ireland. And it's a great example of where compromise and goodwill can build a better future for everybody in tourism. And a good example of that is this weekend, tomorrow, Sunday, our Minister, Catherine Martin, in Ireland, will lead a delegation of companies out to the Middle East. There's about 17 companies. They comprise people from north, south, east and west. And they'll all be working together, putting the shoulder to the wheel in that important part of the world. And we'll also see significant delegations of industry going out on sales missions to the east coast of the United States at the end of April and to the west coast in the middle of May. So I think really people are geared up now for the return of international travel and keen to renew relationships with the product providers out on the ground in those countries. But working together is a great example. I was up in the new Game of Thrones studio tour, which is opened in Banbridge in Northern Ireland outside of Belfast. And that's a £40 million. So, you know, you're looking at a $60 million investment. Yeah. Backed by Warner Brothers and HBO and endorsed by them. And it's got about 75% of all the sets of the series. So if you have any interest in film and TV, it's definitely something that you should put on your itinerary. It's the new news. We had about 100 journalists in, many of them from the United States, reporting on it last week. And it opened on the 4th of February, and that's something new to put on the itinerary.
That's terrific news, too. And Ireland.com really is designed especially for the U.S. traveler. And, you know, you get ideas of music and food and drink and golf and walking, literature Ireland. And a lot of people are more than interested in the family tree. If you can recall, and you would, but I hope our listeners would recall, that one of the most successful campaigns carried out by Tourism Ireland was The Gathering. And The Gathering, it seems like it was for some yesterday and for some a long, long time ago. And actually, that has been, you know, it was great, and it introduced people to the whole notion of having family gatherings, and that's back. That's back this year.
It is. It's a very important part of the whole tourism story. The gathering was held about 8-9 years ago, and it really was an ask of people to come home and support tourism, and they did so in large numbers. But it has left a great legacy of, you know, the importance of diaspora and family connections. And what we have seen now with the availability of online resources being so strong, it's really spawned a whole new movement of people trying to trace their ancestry. And of course, you get to a certain point online, and then the next step is to go home. And we have a new visitor attraction, well, relatively new, it's about 5 years old, called Epic Ireland, which is the Irish Diaspora Museum. It's in Dublin, and they have a whole amazing high-tech, I suppose, journey that tells the story of the Irish diaspora around the globe. And they also have services of genealogists there who can help you on your first step, or maybe your 100th step of trying to trace your ancestry. So it's really, really important. And it's something that I think, you know, as time goes on, the records become better. More people are getting interested in it, which is really good.
You know, a great attraction for tourists to Ireland, and particularly from North America, was the St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's festivals in Ireland, and then obviously that had been cancelled or greatly reduced and so forth. But it's back. It's back again.
It's back. I'm glad. Yeah, again, we've got great news on that. It was just announced by the government this week that there is going to be a festival. It is going to be in person, first time in 3 years. And there is going to be a parade, more importantly. So it's really, I think it gave people such a lift. It got great international coverage on things like Bloomberg and Reuters. I think having a parade in Ireland is very important to what St. Patrick's Day is all about. So that's really positive for us. It's a good platform for international messaging. And we also had the government announcement in Ireland that ministers will be travelling abroad again for the first time in a number of years, and they'll be travelling to 40 cities around the world, including many in the United States. So that'll give a great opportunity to reconnect again in person.
Traditional Irish music, again, probably is as popular here in the United States and North America, for that matter, as it is in Ireland. And you have Cultus Culturae, the Fla, back in 2022. Big stuff. And, traditional Irish music, say, Mullingar has added something new this year. It hosts the largest traditional Irish music festival. And that seems to be great attraction as well, you know?
Very much so. I think the whole area of music, culture, performing arts has had a very, very tough time, essentially shut down for the last 2 years, and it's a great part of the Irish story. So seeing things like the Fla come back and many other festivals and events is really welcome. But you're funny, your story about Irish traditional music is probably bigger outside of Ireland than it is inside, because there's so many people who have connections with it and have been part of it. I suppose an Irish story going back over many, many years. I mean, the story of traditional music migrated from Ireland to America hundreds of years ago, and it's spawned a new interest from people who live abroad in Irish traditional music, which has been terrific. So I think that's really great to see back. I think the Fla has an enormous impact wherever it goes. The following is phenomenal. It breeds life into cities and towns, and Cultus Culturae do a great job, both at home and abroad, by the way, in relation to the promotion of Irish music.
And, what it does also is in attracting the tourists to Ireland for the Fla. That's for the 32 countries, because there are many who take advantage of that opportunity, to take in visits to their home countries or their counties of heritage and so forth. So that's very big as well.
Indeed. And when the Fla actually travelled to Derry back around 2013, it was the first time it was up there. It had an enormous impact on the city. I think people hadn't appreciated the size and scale of what it did. But anywhere the Fla goes, it brings a huge cohort with it. And I think with the lockdown that's been there for the last 2 years, I think it's likely to spawn a much bigger revival than we might have expected in 2022.
Somehow we still hang on to images that we've had with the off-shoulder season and whatever. Truth of the matter was, pre-pandemic, there was no soft or hard or anything. Ireland was a place to go, 12 months out of the year. It didn't make a difference when you went. Do you see that again as we move forward? Will that return to hopefully the level that it was pre-pandemic, when every single solitary year Tourism Ireland was just increasing by varied percentages? Is that going to, will that take, as some feel, years from now, perhaps it might? Ireland has very special and well-founded expectations, for people to get moving, because we're free. We can get outside the door for a change after 2 years.
Yeah, I think there's going to be an initial very, very strong pent-up demand. Household savings are very significant, and we're likely to see a very strong summer season. We probably reckon that it would be 3 to 4 years by the time you really get back to levels that we saw in 2019. But you're right, the summer season will be really busy. So, you know, you're looking at sort of May to September. And what that will mean is that as we head into 2023, the shoulder season becomes important again. We saw an amazing increase in the number of people from the United States coming in quarter four. I think that's reflecting that on the east coast of the U.S., there are many people that would view Ireland almost as a short-haul destination for them now, because the flight takes only about 5 hours. And if you've got a long holiday weekend in the USA and you can add a day onto it, well, a trip to Ireland becomes very possible.
Right. Now, Ireland Golf, I know that there is an array of attractions in Ireland, but golf is still, you know, a lot of people here, Irish Americans in particular, who are golfers, really want to get back, and they want to get back to Ireland, and they want to do it soon. Can you fill us in on, say, the golf industry in Ireland, the golf, you know, courses, and particularly the accommodation, hotels and guest houses that have had a slump? Are there, again, is that coming back quickly, or, again, does that create a new strain on places that have, you know, done very poorly? What's the situation there?
Well, the golfing situation is remarkable in terms of the strength of the bounce back. And there's obviously people who have postponed their trips in 2020 and 2021, but it already started to come back. Last year, I saw golfers from the United States arriving in places like Kerry in August, as soon as restrictions were lifted. I was actually at the PGA show down in Orlando with Alison Metcalf and the team from Tourism Ireland. We were there with 23 of the top golf courses around the island of Ireland on the Ireland stand. And the demand was really, really strong. I mean, many of the golf courses now have actually sold out their tee times for 2022 and will be opening their tee times for 2023 very shortly. We've got some big golf news coming down the track. We've got the Open, that is the British Open, coming to Royal Port Rush again in 2025. It was hugely successful in 2019. And we've got the Ryder Cup coming. It last came to the K Club in 2006, and it's going to be in the magnificent Adair Manor in 2027. So we've got a great running on the golf side. And we all know the golfers like Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy and Paul Carrington. We have a new star on the golfing scene now, Leona Maguire, on the ladies' golf,
yes,
who had a big win in the last number of days.
And of course, we find out on a lot of those from Cavan and Castlereagh and in Roscommon, again, are particularly delighted. Leona Maguire, big win, and congratulations to her as well, you know.
I think it's a great news story for Ireland. I saw her on the news afterwards, and I think she's a great ambassador for Ireland. She spoke so well. She has a lovely manner about her. I haven't met her, but she's lovely. She comes across really modest and a great golfing talent, and I'm sure she'll be a big star in years to come.
That's great news. I know that... we will get a chance to meet you again on our side of the Atlantic in person. Again, you'll be here at least a couple of times. Obviously, we'd expect you to be here, you know, for St. Patrick's Day and for that lead up to St. Patrick's Day. And it's good. And
indeed.
Yeah.
We're really looking forward to it. I'm going to be over in early March on a very short trip. We have a movie which we've invested in. It's been produced by McGillivray Freeman, who've done a lot of really good work on the IMAX circuit. And this movie is narrated by Liam Neeson, and it's a whole story about Ireland. And it's a great show. It's going to get launched in New York in early March, so that's really good. And then I will be over for the St. Patrick's week. Really looking forward to reconnecting in New York. Great to see that the parade is taking place. And it's just a fabulous time of the year, and it's really just great to be back in person. I mean, I can't believe it's 2 years, but to meet all the people who are great supporters Ireland's, of Tourism Ireland's, and to have ministers coming out. Minister Eamon Ryan will be, the Minister for Transport will be out in New York during that week. So we'll be doing a lot of work with him, and we look forward to reconnecting in person with all our family and friends there.
You know, for all of us who, you know, over the last 2 years are, you know, are waiting and with anticipation and saying, I wish things would settle down. Well, actually, Ireland is to the fore in settling down. There are a lot of countries throughout Europe in particular that are still, you know, trying to get it sorted out. Ireland is sorted out, and there is no particular reason waiting for, you know, things to settle down as people, some people feel. The time is now, and Ireland is open.
That's it, and as we say, Adrian, that's why we've got this new campaign called Press the Green Button, and there's probably no more open country in Europe at the moment than Ireland, and a great destination to come to. Can't wait to roll out the green carpet for people, and you'll be seeing our new campaign, which is launching on TV in the United States in about a week's time, called Press the Green Button Campaign. It'll be launching in about 6 different gateways where we'd have direct access. And we look forward to everybody pressing the green button and getting to Ireland in 2022.
Absolutely terrific. And thank you, you know, as the Chief Executive Officer of Tourism, Irish Tourism Worldwide, I know that a great number of other countries are coming on board, but still a very significant and strongest market, and we're ready to go, is North America. And then we hear more, you know, from this, and looking forward to the thrust of the campaign here. And again, Alison Medcalf, who runs head of tourism for North America, is doing a fantastic job, and she's already getting us riled up, as it were. Thank you.
Indeed. I just want to thank Alison actually for the great job that she does there, Adrian. It's always a great pleasure to come over and see the great work that goes on under Alison's leadership. And I know she was on the show with you recently, but we look forward to reconnecting with Alison and the team over there in March. And just to thank you again for having me on. We appreciate all the great work that you do keeping the lights on for Ireland, particularly over the last 2 years. And fingers crossed it won't be too long before we see you back down in Mayo again, Adrian.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I have a tentative booking for, you know, the All-Ireland final there. So, you know, we expect big things. I do want to mention while we're at it that our family is having a family gathering in Westport in Mayo. And I think it's at the August Bank Holiday weekend, the end of July. And we could definitely, it was... with mixed reaction that we found that that a lot of hotels are pre-booked already, so they're not waiting to see what's happening. Very strong bookings throughout Ireland, and but this is an O'Dwyer family gathering, and on the last count we had about 70 or more, and we'd have to squeeze into Westport there. But it speaks so well, and we've been planning and waiting, and the waiting time is up. Look forward very much to, first of all, having you here, and the fact that ministers are going to 40 cities. That's terrific, because that does make a difference, and it announces for once and for all that the waiting is over, the time is now. And Niall Gibbons, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us on Irish Radio Network USA. Thanks again.
Thank you, Adrian.